This is Kevin England, and this is the Beekeeper's Corner. June 4th, 2010. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner. We're going to start the episode out a little bit differently this week. I'm standing out at the site of hive number 2 at our bee yard, and I'm going to go dig in a box here and take a look at things. The hive we discovered last weekend doesn't appear to have an operational queen. I'll tell you the story of how we got to that, but right now what I want to do is dive in the box and take a look and see what we got here, trying to determine if there's any brood here, if the queen is working, or if we're at the point where we need to insert a queen, and we'll have to go pick one up tomorrow. So, got the hive tool out, got the smoker going, and we're going to get things started here, wearing my gloves and my suit, going to take the top cover off, set that aside, going to pop the inner cover off, take a look inside here. Get a handful of bees up here in the top. I'm going to pull frame number 1 here and take a look. I know what's in this box. I looked at it last weekend, and it has a bunch of things with foundation in it. And it has some frames with honey on them. And frame number 1 here is just drawn comb. One on my finger. Hate to get stung on the hands. If you listened before, you heard that before. Got one glove on and one glove off. I don't know why I'm doing that, but frame number 2, more of the same, just a handful of bees. And these frames were loaded with honey previously. When I looked at it last Saturday, or this past Saturday, and all I see is they have all the honey uncapped. And they're just taking the nectar, not a lot of bees on the top box here. So I can see all the way through. Have a couple frames that have nothing but foundation on them. And they're not doing anything with those, but right now all they're doing is just harvesting honey, and that's about it. Going to pop off box number 2 and take a look in the lower box here. Give me one sec while I put my phone in my pocket here. Got one bee inspecting me, as you could probably hear the buzzing. I'm gonna take that box and set it aside. See a lot of bees in this box, at least up in the top. I'll take a look at frame number 1 here, one closest to me. This is just drawn comb, handful of bees on it. Everybody's trying to take a peek at me here. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to cut to the chase here. I know what I'm after. I'm going to pull out frame number 6. It's the one that had some drawn comb on it. Let's take a look. Let's see what this has got. Okay, so there was comb on it and there was some unhatched brood. All the brood's been uncapped. I see no evidence of a queen anywhere and no larvae. And as I look through each one of these frames, that's exactly what I can see, is that there's just nothing going on in here other than bees harvesting honey. So I'm going to put the frames back together. I'm not going to disturb them too much. Here I'm going to take the top box and put it right back on. And what I suspected is true. No queen. Hiveless box. Gonna have to bring them something to work with here. And I'm just putting one of the frames back in the top box. Gonna put the inner cover back on. And I know the answer here. Need a new queen for this hive. Top cover goes back on. And they're a little happier now. I didn't smoke them. Everybody's kind of settled down now that I closed things up. Ironically, I look on the ground here and I see the queen cage that we used to load the Carniolan queen we got, and that's going to go in the box. So, hive number 2, no queen. Still a box of bees, not a ton of them in here, but they're going to hang on hopefully till tomorrow when we give them a new queen to work with. The hive number 1 box, I'll go over that inspection shortly, but let's just get to the rest of this episode. We're going to talk about what happened at the Beekeepers Association meeting for the Spring New Jersey meeting, happened in Medford, New Jersey. We'll give you the rest of the story about what's going on with our local hives. And I made a new beekeeping inspection sheet this week. I'll share that with everybody and a couple other things to cover. So let us take a quick break here and we'll come back and finish the remainder of the local hive report. You're listening to the Beekeeper's Corner podcast on the web at www.bkcorner.org. You can send an email to us at kevin@bkcorner.org. Now back to our local hive report. Welcome back to the Beekeeper's Corner podcast. Back in the studio now, using a real microphone. Should sound a little bit better. The other microphone you were listening to was from my cell phone out in the field. If you listened to our last episode, then you'll know that we set up two new hives after purchasing two nukes from local sources. To continue our local hive report, let's go back in time and tell you a little bit about how we got to the opening. We purchased our queens from Stan at SNF Honey Farms, and he said to give it 3 days or so, then do an inspection to ensure they were released. My wife Sharon did the inspection and found that the queen was out in one case, meaning out of the queen cage and into the hive, and still in the queen cage for the other. This was sometime around May 20th. She took an implement, like an ice pick, and bored a hole in the candy tube, and the attendants immediately set to work to get the queen out. And when she returned the following day, the queen was out of the cage box. Things were all good. So we had two new hives set up, full of bees, queens in them, good to go. Left the bees to get settled and did the first full inspection on the 29th. We started with hive number one and went through the normal inspection routine. And to that end, I recorded my comments out loud while checking the hive. And if it's your thing to listen in, I'll provide the audio commentary of the hive inspection that I recorded as part of the show notes for this episode. The hive looked good. I was most interested to see if the queen was working and if there was brood and larvae. All looked in order, and there was a reasonable amount of bees in the box doing what they should be doing. I didn't spot the queen in hive number one, but with some larvae present, I know we had a laying queen. There was evidence of new comb being built on some of the frames that had just foundation, and also evidence of new pollen storage, and that's pretty much all I needed to know that things were going the way we wanted to see it. I did go through every frame as part of the inspection. I didn't have to, but being that it was the first time, I wanted to give it a full look. While doing the inspection, I was concerned that I might have had too many frames with sugar water honey from last year stored in the bottom box. I put those in there to give the hive a good start. But at the end of the inspection, I did some frame adjustments. I took some comb frames that didn't have any nectar or honey or sugar water honey stored in them, and I moved them to the bottom box so there was more room for the queen to lay. And I would have liked to have seen some more brood pattern in the box, but I'm hoping that the adjustment of the frames does the trick and gives the queen the room that she needs. Moving on to hive number two, the one that we opened the episode with, things didn't go too well there. The short of it is I didn't see any larvae in the box. The second box looked like the first, but it didn't show any evidence of our Canolian queen, and the brood pattern seemed a little scattered. I'm always hesitant to say 100% that I found the queen, and maybe it's a crush, but I wish the queen was marked so it would be a no-brainer. I did see what I thought was a queen. I'm pretty sure of that. But again, as a novice, sometimes I'm never quite sure. The challenge is she didn't have a dark abdomen like the carnelian we installed. Carnelian, I'm going to say that right. Remember the last episode. The one that I saw was pale and golden yellow, and had like mustard-colored stripes. And I wanted to take more time to do the inspection on this hive, but that Saturday that I was doing it, we were heading to the match to watch the U.S. soccer team play Turkey in the Philadelphia Eagles Stadium, and it was going to have to wait. The next afternoon, however, I went out on the 29th, or it was the 30th, and dug into the bottom box. Like hive number one, actually, I was concerned that if the queen was operational, perhaps
She was bound by the frames of honey we put in. I envisioned that we needed to put some frames with built-out comb for her to lay in, so I set off to swap out some of the frames. I brought them out with me in anticipation of pulling honey frames out. The problem was, I spent 5 minutes in the bottom box readjusting the frames and did not see any evidence of queen larva anything that day. So, disappointed that didn't see that. And also, the Indy 500 was going on, and as you may know from other episodes, big race fan here, so missed it. Took longer than that. It was an all-around disappointment, but such is the life of a beekeeper. So, during that inspection, I took a little time to look at the frames a little closer, and I found 4 open queen cells in the bottom of the frame number 5 in the box. And what I always do is I start with the side closest to our house, and I work from there, and I count the frames out. So number five found queen cells. And, you know, I don't know if they were part of the nuke that we received or whether or not the Carniolian queen was off or what. It can't be tell, right? So I took a photo of those with my phone while I was there and posted them to the beekeepers forum for our club, and everybody seemed to agree that they were queen cells, but when they were queen cells, I guess, is the question. Put a phone call into Tim Schuler. He's the state apiarist, to see if he had any advice on what to do. And I guess the duh answer is go get yourself another queen, especially after the opening segment where I showed today when I got home from work. There's no queen in that box there. There's no larva left. There wasn't any larva. There's no capped brood or anything. So if I don't get a queen in there, everybody's going to fly the coop and we're going to be done. So local hive report, queen working well, hive number 1 up and running, and we need to do some damage control on hive number 2, but hopeful that everything will keep going. Incidentally, I mentioned on both boxes that I have a second box on. I started with the nuke and a couple empty frames in the first one, but there was a lot of bees from the nuke, and the box was mostly filled out. And I know that I want to feed them, so I put the second box on the top, and I loaded it with frames of honey that we had from last season. Some of the honey, as I've been alluding to, was sugar water honey that got stored in there. I don't know if you even want to call it honey, but it was something for them to feed on. And I figured instead of setting hive feeders in there or putting the top feeders that go on top of the boxes, put the frames in, let them consume that. And looks like they're doing a good job with that. I did peek into hive number 1 today in the top box and looked. All the capped honey that was in there, or the capped sugar water, was opened up, and they were feeding on it, and there were bees coming and going. So things look pretty good from that hive. It looked like it was full of bees and doing a good job. So hive number 1, good shape. Hive number 2, we're going to fix it tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be on the right track for the rest of the season. My name's Kevin England. You're listening to the Beekeeper's Corner podcast. We'll come back with some information about what we picked up at the State New Jersey Spring Meeting that happened in Medford, New Jersey, just about a week or so ago.
drone cells on that. So
no, but there's a drone right there. They get capped at about 10 to 12 days. Now, these are some that are just starting to cap right here.
Oh, yeah, there's a larva.
That's a pupa, just about to be a pupa. Yep. Okay. Who hasn't seen eggs? You need to come right behind my right shoulder. Right behind my right shoulder. Okay, do you see the egg? It looks like a white exclamation mark in the bottom of this cell. This cell. There's eggs in all these cells right in this area. And then over here are larvae. You see the white grubs? Okay, try looking in this cell. You see that white egg in the bottom of it? Alright. If you don't have good eyes, it can be tough.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't know what you're looking at. Right behind the shoulder, larva. Alright. Eggs. There's all eggs in there.
The voice you were just listening to was that of Tim Schuler, the New Jersey State Apiarist. Tim was one of the presenters, if that's the right term, at the New Jersey Spring Meeting, and the audio was a hands-on display of how to read a frame and see eggs, larvae, brood, and generally what's going on. That discussion and several more presentations took place at the New Jersey Beekeepers Spring Meeting on May 22nd. The day opened with the New Jersey Beekeepers Association, or NJBA, President Seth Belson delivering the opening remarks. The NJBA is a statewide organization of over 700 hobbyist, sideliner, and commercial beekeepers. The purpose of the club is to foster and promote the art of apiculture in New Jersey. Another key aspect of what the NJBA does is educate residents of the Garden State about the state insect, the honeybee, and its vital role in agriculture. This event is just one that the NJBA has on its yearly calendar. After opening remarks, the group made its way down to a grove area where several stations were set up for demonstrations and displays. I guess I'll take the day in the life approach and take you through the stations I visited that morning and afternoon, and share some insights and conversations that took place throughout the day. There was a lot on the agenda, and I think what I'll do is go into some detail here and there, and leave the rest at a high level and come back to some more topics in depth in the next couple of episodes. I started with the station where Tim was giving his preview. I always try to get where Tim is, as he seems to be one, if not the most connected person in the state, as to what's going on the front lines. Hang around enough and you'll get the pulse of beekeeping in New Jersey. I always appreciate Tim's presentation, and even though I've seen the frames with eggs, brood pattern, and larvae, I always pick something up in his delivery and openness to answer questions coming from the audience. I stayed with Tim a bit and then moved on to the nearby station being managed by Bill Eisel. Bill had a full hive set up at his disposal, and he was walking everyone through a frame-by-frame inspection. Honey, pollen, comb patterns, all the key elements of what to look for when performing an inspection were covered. I've done a reasonable amount of inspections over time, and while there's not that much new information, it's always interesting in my mind to hear someone else describe their approach on how they take on a hive inspection. The next station I visited was a split demo from Jerry Futrell. Unfortunately, I got into that one at the tail end and didn't pick up too much on what was going on. Jerry had a full hive body and two nuke boxes. From what I gathered coming in late, he looked at the frames, assessed where they should be split, and transferred them into the two nuke boxes to make a split. I have to assume that he found the queen and put it in one box, and added a new queen to the split that he made, the one that didn't have a queen. Again, I came in at the tail end and pretty much missed all but the last few minutes of what was demonstrated. I'll have to watch for that one next year or try and get somebody to give me a demo of that at some point, because it would be nice to learn how to do splits. While moving on to another station, I had a chance to speak with Tim, who freed up from his demo. I wanted to let him know that I recorded some of his conversation for the podcast and ensure that he would be okay if I used some of the audio I captured. He was, of course, fine with it, and in fact, he tipped me off to another attendee by the name of John Kirk, who did some beekeeping journalism and had worked with Tim in the past as part of his journalism. I made it a point to stop off and chat with John, and he shared his blog title with me, backyardbuzz.wordpress.com. I stopped over and took a look at John's effort when I got home, and John has a pretty cool blog. The next stop was with Michael Long. Michael was given a demo of the Two Queen method and also the De Marie method. The Two Queen method consisted of using a queen excluder between the lower and upper chambers of the deeps and the addition of a new entrance for the top hive box. The premise of this approach is that the two queens could work independently but share the same box of bees to do the work. I guess for this and the next discussion, I'll hold off until the next episode and cover these in more detail to give them a better explanation. The De Marie method that I mentioned is a swarm prevention method used in beekeeping. It was developed by George De Marie, hence the name, back in the 1800s. It was published as an article in the American Bee Journal in 1884, and it involves a method in which the queen is separated from the brood. In the case of Michael's demonstration, he had a hive box deep on the bottom, which would house a queen, and several frames of undrawn comb. The bottom box had a queen excluder on it to keep her in there. Then another box was placed on top, and that would house the brood chamber and all of the nurse bees. The bees could travel through both boxes, but the queen was restricted to the bottom from the queen excluder. Both topics were interesting and new to me, and I will have to take the time to take what I learned and do some additional research to get a better understanding. Michael did a good job of covering both of them, and as I said, I think I'll reserve some space in an upcoming episode to bring his audio and explore these topics in detail. For now, let's take a break. When we come back, I'll get to the second half of the coverage of the New Jersey Beekeepers Spring Meeting. Welcome back to the Beekeeper's Corner podcast coverage of the NJBA Spring Meeting Workshops. There was an article published in the April-May 2010 New Jersey Beekeepers Association newsletter about a study performed for a middle hive entrance impact to mite control. The title of the summary report, for those who want to look it up, in the newsletter was A Middle Entrance for Beehives Experiment, Final Summary by Dave and Tim Stewart. Tim Stewart of Stewart Apiaries was on hand and had a demonstration set up that explained the study to those in attendance. Tim also had published results for anyone that wanted to review them. I wanted to play you a short clip of the discussion about the Center Hive entrance study. In this clip, you'll hear Tim explaining the concept to a fellow beekeeper.
I'm talking about this middle entrance right here.
A landing?
Yes.
That's all?
In the middle of the hive.
Yeah.
The idea was if they're using that when they're not walking around on the bottom board, when a mite falls out, they don't get a free ride back up on another bee.
So that's the screen bottom.
Well, the screen bottom, the bees still walk around down there.
Yeah.
And they say only something like 40% of the mites that actually fall fall out.
So what does this do?
The idea of that was there's no bees still walking around on the bottom board. And they aren't going to be coming in and walking right up into the brood nest. When they do that, the mite can fall and land on another bee, and the bee will walk right
there. In other words, you're having them enter through a slatted rack?
I'm having them enter right here when you put the box on.
Oh, they're entering through a queen excluder.
No, the idea is they're not entering at the bottom. The queen excluder is there as a swarm control method.
Okay.
Because the queen can't get through there and fly away.
Right.
The mites would fall through to the bottom board, and if the bees were coming in here and walking on it,
they'd pick up the mites.
Yes.
But if you close that and you enter here, when the mites fall down and the bees are entering here, they're not walking across the mites and picking them up.
The shape of a mite, they're
you harness the principle of the bees in a tree.
It's kind of funny. You're harnessing the principle that the mites fall through to the bottom.
Right.
And if they're down on the bottom and the bees are entering here, the bees aren't walking across them. So,
that was the first observation in Germany that they observed that the bees in a hollow tree survive, providing they have space
underneath.
It takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And yeah, this was in the newsletter that we're talking about the results of this.
Yes. We've got all the data straight underneath here. Although it's all dirty. So I have charts of mite counts and hive weights. And
the fellow beekeeper struggled a bit on the concept, mostly because the hive deeps were separated at the time he arrived at the demonstration. And he had only seen the bottom deep, and as you heard, after Tim put the second box on and I jumped in a bit, he shared that he was familiar with the concept, and I liked his analogy of the tree. I had never heard of that, but he did get it. Tim had a deep hive box set up on a scale during the study, and he took care of the mite counts. He showed us the mite count board, and he showed us that he was taking hive weights to record whether or not the effect of a center entrance was working or not. The summary of things that were under consideration for this study was actually outlined back in the NJBA June-July 08 newsletter. One of the key assumptions that the study was looking to find evidence of was the employment of a middle entrance would mean little traffic on the bottom board. Anything that falls down would be left there. Some claim that it is possible that up to 40% of the varroa mites actually fall off honeybees in the hive, and setting up a hive configuration which keeps the bees from traversing across some bottom board on entrance might have an impact on varroa mite population. Looking back to the April-May results in the newsletter shared several observations about the study, and I won't go into detail with any of those except for the key one, which was the middle entrance strategy seemed to reduce the mite loads slightly, but in the end, the Stewarts reported that the experiment was inconclusive. Additional information concerning more details about the study will most likely be posted to the NJBA website at some point in the future. It seems appropriate to take the time to say thanks to Dave and Tim Stewart, who conducted the study, for all their hard work, and to Tim for coming out to the NJBA spring meeting and presenting the information to the beekeepers in attendance. There were a few other things that happened on the day, including a trap-out demonstration and an interesting equipment display of 8-frame Langstroth hives with tags expressing the weight savings between an 8-frame hive versus a 10-frame hive. That might be an interesting consideration for those that would like to cut back on the weight of the hive boxes they are working with. The latter part of the day saw many of us venture back up to the pavilion to follow the winners from a Chinese auction. Yours truly won a jar of Trapper's Honey from Clarksburg, New Jersey. The ironic thing is, there are only three things in this world I'm not a fan of when it comes to food: eggplant, radishes, and raspberry. What did I win? A gourmet raspberry honey blend. I tried it. It was very good, but I'll leave it to Sharon to finish off with her breakfast. I thought I'd leave one more thing to share for the final segment of this episode, so hang in there, and I'll be right back to cover the new inspection form review, and I'll close out the show with where to find a video on how to find and mark a queen, one of the excellent demonstrations that took place at the event.
Take a
Having a type A personality means that when it comes to doing inspections, I require a tailor-made form for record keeping. I decided after some research on the web that I would make up a personal form for bee inspection, one that took parts and pieces from other forms found on the web, and combined them to become the form that I need for the type of inspections that I plan to perform. Who am I kidding? I love making forms. I don't know. It's just one of those strange things for me. I made the form that the rescue squad used. I made forms for work, and I just like playing with forms. So if the opportunity arises, I'm going to make a form. There you know. The form is broken into three major sections. The first area captures the conditions of the day of the inspection and the configuration of the hive that is being inspected, number of boxes, equipment installed, and so on. The second section is about the inspection and has anything needed to capture how the bees were acting and what was observed as far as the conditions in the hive. The third section focuses on the actions taken while working on the hive that day, feeding the bees, frames added, moved around, medications, and so on. There's a section on the bottom for additional notes or observations, too. If you're interested in downloading a copy of the form, you could find it on our website, www.bkcorner.org. There are numerous other forms available on the web. Go to Bing or Google and perform a search on Hive Inspection Form, and you'll be sure to find one to your liking. Time to close out this episode, but before we go, one of the demonstrations that took place at the spring meeting was how to mark a queen. Landy Simone and Mary Kosinski demonstrated how to collect and mark a queen. They didn't have any queens, they were using drones, but you'll get the premise of it. In our show notes this week, there is a video of that demonstration. I'll offer apologies now. For whatever reason, the audio is not in sync. It was right from my phone, but the video software that I used to produce the file didn't sync the audio properly. That being said, I thought this was still a fascinating demonstration and the first time I'd ever seen it performed. I must admit that after the video was closed, I tried several times to pick up a drone, and I just couldn't get it done. I guess my big fingers are not well suited for the job. It was a cool sensation, however, to pin down the bee and grab on. They seem more sturdy than one would think. Marked bees wear a different color depending on the year that they are marked. Landy shared a mnemonic that allows you to remember what color goes with what year. I won't spoil it here, so you'll have to have some incentive to go watch the clip. You know where to get it at our website, www.bkcorner.org. That wraps it up for this show. Our music in this episode was provided by Leif Williamson with Big Blues, Ralph Art with Lovato Blues from the album The Dark Side of Nowhere. The acoustic number One Day was off the album Unsaid Promises by Donnie Carver. And the final buffer song is from the band Everyday Jones with What I'm Missing from the CD Here I Am. Our outro music is from the unusually named band Hair Club for Men. The tune is Going to That Place from the Live from Attica CD. That'll wrap it up for this episode. Thanks for listening.
Once I took you to a place where there's only us two. Remember once I took you to a place where there's only me and you. When I miss you, sweet darling, I wish you'd meet me there too. Remember once I took you to a place where there's only us two. When I miss you, sweet darling, I wanna see you there. When I miss you, sweet darling, I wanna see you there. There ain't nowhere better, where I can feel how much you care. There ain't nothing better. I wanna see you there. When the morning's rising out of the blackest night, when the morning's rising out of the blackest night, I'll hold you, darling, tell you everything's alright. When the morning's rising out of the blackest night. Nothing better that's gonna fall on this sweet earth. There ain't nothing better that's gonna fall on this sweet earth. When you breathe like you want to, you ought to breathe with me. You just meet me there. I'm relying on just you and me to have that place as a calm and wondrous thing. There ain't nothing better.